days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of his servant Moses, righteousness being restored.
St. Stephen's, welcome to worship. Welcome to this online service. We are so pleased to bring this to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today we hear the story from Ezekiel of the Valley of Dry Bones. I want to read to you a scripture sentence from the previous chapter in Ezekiel. It is written, "I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. I will put my spirit in you, and I will see to it that you follow my laws to keep all the commands I have given you." Please say the call to worship with me. The Spirit of God has brought us here. The Lord has set us down here, though our bones are tired. Can these dry bones live? Yes, the breath of God will revive us. The word of God will awaken us. Today we come together to experience new life. Let us give thanks to the wild, life-giving Spirit of God. And let's light our candles for worship as we come to the Lord, remembering that He is the light of the world to bring us life and light. Let's pray this prayer together. Beginner of all things, begin in us again. Take these tired limbs and rouse them to dance your joy from sunbreak to sundown. Help us, O Blessed One, to shake off our weariness, that we may know new life in you and offer it to one another. Amen. Friends, let's say our prayer of confession together. Loving and living God, you call us to be your voices in this world, and we stay silent. You call us to be your hands in this world, and we keep them hidden. You call us to be your feet in this world, and we go our own way. When we meet those who are doubting and say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who need your touch and do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up your cross and carry nothing, forgive us. Breathe life into these bones, bring freedom to these lives, that we might declare with heart and soul and voice that you are our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, if God kept track of all of our mistakes, what chance would we have? We all have less than perfect times. But with unfailing love, God offers us forgiveness, complete forgiveness that erases our sins entirely and allows us to begin again and try again. So be at peace, because your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Ezekiel, and I'm reading in chapter 37, verses 1 through 14 from the Good News Bible. I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and his spirit took me and set me down in the valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all around the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones and that they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that." He said, "Prophesy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Then tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying to them, I am going to put them breath into you and bring you back to life. I will give you sinews and muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and bring you back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been told. While I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. While I watched, the bones were covered with sinews and muscles, and then with skin, but there was no breath in the bodies. God said to me, "Mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the Sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction, to breathe into these dead bodies and to bring them back to life." So I prophesied as I had been told. breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. There were enough of them to form an army. God said to me, "Mortal man, the people of Israel are like these bones. They say that they are dried up, without any hope, and with no future. So prophesy to my people Israel, and tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am going to open their graves. I'm going to take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. When I open the graves where my people are buried and bring them out, they will know that I am the Lord. I will put breath in them, bring them back to life, and let them live in their own land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have promised that I would do this, and I will. I, the Lord, have spoken." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Next Sunday is Palm Sunday already. That means that this is our final sermon in our Lenten sermon series, exploring the ways that God invites us to deepen our trust and faith in Him as we negotiate challenges that tend to come along in most of our lives. We've been exploring some well-known Old Testament stories, listening for what they can teach us about how we can face life's trials by leaning into our faith, and wonderfully discovering in the process of doing that, that our faith can deepen and grow. In many ways, the challenges we have been looking at have intensified from week to week. Today we come to what is the biggest leap of faith we've considered, how to trust God when you're facing what feels impossible. We're going to think about that challenge as we remember this dramatic vision that God gave Ezekiel of a valley full of bones being transformed and brought to life. Now, it is important as we come to this reading to know that the prophet Ezekiel lived and ministered during a dark and difficult time in Israel's history. Jerusalem had fallen to the Babylonians, the temple had been destroyed, and thousands of people had been taken into exile. All that they had hoped for, freedom in their own land, God's presence tangibly with them in the temple, all of that had been destroyed. And in the wake of it, people were wondering if God had completely given up on them. Now, God knows their fears and their sense of desolation. And so the Spirit comes to Ezekiel and sweeps him into this spectacular scene of a vast valley that is entirely littered with dry, dusty bones. As Ezekiel walks in the midst of that disturbing scene of death, the Spirit commands him to tell the bones that God is going to bring them to life. Ezekiel speaks to them as directed, as weird as that may have seemed for him, and it happened. The bones reform into skeletons and they become covered with flesh and skin. But they still aren't alive. They aren't breathing. So the Spirit tells Ezekiel to prophesy for breath to come into them, and he does. And in a scene that strongly echoes the moment that breath and life come into Adam in our creation story, these skeletons come to life. Well, having been shown this incredible vision, God graciously explains it all to Ezekiel. The bones represent the hopes and dreams of the people of Israel. The whole vision is God's promise that he is going to restore those dreams to life. He's going to take his people home and rebuild the life that they had known in their land. God tells Ezekiel to share this promise with the people so that they will know that God is still with them and is still very, very much their God. So what does all of that spectacular vision mean to us? Well, before we get to that question, we need to think about what it meant to the people that Ezekiel first shared his vision with, those Israelites who found themselves living in exile. Without question, this was a message of consolation given by God to a hurting people who had given up hope. They'd lost their land. They'd lost the temple where God's presence had tangibly been with them. And because those two things were so much at the heart of their relationship with God, they felt that God was lost to them as well. But God gave Ezekiel this vision to share so that they would know that God was not gone and God was not done. He was going to restore Israel and regather her. As impossible as it would have seemed to them at the time, God was promising that there was still much life left to come for them. Now, as we know, there are often multiple levels of meaning with biblical texts. At the most immediate level, this story was a promise of restoration for the exiled people of Israel. And as we know from our history of Israel, it's a promise that really was eventually fulfilled, as best we can date it, about 13 years later. But beyond that assurance, there is another level of meaning for us to consider here. As we approach Easter, we can hear the promise of resurrection in this vision, can't we? Dead things coming to life. It's a picture that quite literally shows us that when God wants to, he is quite capable of putting bodies that he has created in the first place back together and bringing them back to life, even after they've been dead. And of course, we know and we celebrate that God did this for Jesus after his crucifixion. But even more, the great hope of the Christian faith is that we dare to hope and believe that God can and will do this for us, that there will somehow be life beyond our death. So this vision was a promise of God bringing Israel back to the life he had promised them. It's also a promise for us that God can and will bring us to the life beyond death that Jesus has promised. Now, I get it. Believing in resurrection can feel like a pretty big stretch. We know we have lots of accounts of Jesus being resurrected, but can and will God actually resurrect us? It really does seem quite impossible. But today, we are thinking about how we can trust God when we are facing what seems impossible. And what seems more impossible than death not really being the end of life? How can we trust that the promise in this vision is true? That when God decides to, he absolutely can resurrect the dead. And even more, how can we trust that one day he will? Well, quite simply, we need to follow Ezekiel's lead. Not necessarily the prophesying part, although if you are so gifted and called, that's wonderful, and I would love to hear from you. But for all of us, Ezekiel models something that is really, really important in this story. Something that can easily get lost in the grand spectacle of the vision. This whole thing begins with the Spirit of God bringing Ezekiel to that valley and showing him the sea of dry bones. And as Ezekiel stands among all of that death, God asks him that strange question. Can these bones live? Now, it's easy for us to think that people who lived in ancient times were simpler than us and were more apt to believe such impossible-sounding things. And while it is true that they did not have the depth of scientific understanding that we have today. It's not fair to say that people in the ancient world were any less aware of the fact that dead things don't spring to life. If anything, they were less insulated from the harsh realities of death than we are today. So they were probably even more keenly aware of what death was and of what it meant. Ezekiel would have known well that dead bones don't live, which is why what he says to God in answer to that strange question is so important for us to hear. God asked, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Or, as the NIV translation helpfully puts it, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Ezekiel is well aware that dead bones don't live, but he also has the humility to realize that he doesn't know as much as God knows. And even more importantly, Ezekiel knows well that God is God. God is sovereign. And God has the ultimate power over life and death. Which means that while we can't make dead bones live, God can, if God wants to. So this question, can these bones live? It's really a question of faith. It's not just what it appears, can dead bones live? It's actually, can God make dead bones live? And Ezekiel has enough experience and knowledge of God at this point to realize the difference in those two questions and to know that if God wanted to bring those bones to life, he could. So, in this wonderful positive affirmation of Ezekiel's faith-filled answer, God shows him that that is exactly what he is going to do. So as we come again this spring to the stories of Jesus' own death and resurrection, perhaps the first question for us is not whether we believe the many accounts that tell us that Jesus was resurrected. Perhaps the primary question is whether or not God could have resurrected Jesus. Because that's actually where it's easy for us to get hung up, with the idea that God could do what seems to be impossible. Well, the only way I know of to get past that hang up, whether it's to do with our own resurrection or whether it's to do with anything else that seems impossible, the only way to get past it that I can figure out is to follow Ezekiel's lead, to remember that God is sovereign and that God has authority over all things, including life and death. Which means that if God wants to do something that seems impossible, like raising Jesus from the dead, he is completely capable of doing that. And this same critical question applies not just to Jesus' death, but to our own as well. As we face our own mortality and the mortality of those we love, the question is not simply, can we live again? It is, can God bring us to life again? Does God have the authority and the ability to restore us to life after death has done its worst? Well, the magnificence of the Easter story is that it tells us that yes, God does. Yes, just as he did for Jesus, God can bring us beyond death to life. And even better, everything that we know about God's heart, about God's character, and about God's plans and promises for us and for our world, all of that tells us that God is going to do just that for any of us who dare to hope that he will. Amen.
Song is love unknown, the Savior's love for me, love to the loveless shown that they might love me. For who am I that in my place my Lord should take frail flesh and death, and love the victory won in this his parting breath. For with the cry that all is done, vain darkness fell before the praises to that song. So shall I stand in glorious throne and add my praises to that song.
Good morning. Let us pray our prayer for the people. Dear Lord, we lift up our faces to you as the temperatures begin to warm and thank you with love for the gift of spring, which brings us the greening of our surroundings as our home on this earth seems to burst with life, hope, and anticipation. However, we recognize the many difficulties that weigh upon us both locally and throughout our world. We ask that your mercy and steadfast love be seen and accepted with grace by everyone. Restore all of us in your time to humility and faith. Breathe life-giving air into us. We know that you will never leave us or forsake us. We ask you to continue providing love and support to all those in dire need. We think of Ukraine, Turkey, Syria, to name just a few. We hold all those who are suffering in our hearts and bless the many helpers who have responded to these emergencies with deep compassion.
We ask your blessings upon every member of our congregation, especially those journeying along a difficult path. We give thanks for our church leaders as they guide us carefully and lovingly, always aware as situations arise that while we are in the midst of waiting for answers, God is in the midst of doing his work. We are guided by the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for all the ways you have given to the life and work of the church this week. Let's pray together now to dedicate all of our gifts to God. Extravagant God, you lavish us with love and acceptance, and ask that we love and accept others. In offering these gifts, we express our commitment to your way. May they bring hope and peace to this congregation and to your world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. A couple of reminders for our announcements this week. A reminder of the Chosen Study that we are launching on the first Tuesday after the Easter weekend. Study that digs us into Jesus' life and what that was like. It's a discussion study, and we hope that we'll see lots of people out for that. If you would like to know more or would like to take part in it, call the church office and let Adele know. Or if you have any questions, contact me directly. I'd be happy to answer them. Also, a reminder that the Education Ministry is running a survey just to try to get a sense of where people are at and what kind of Christian education offerings you might like us to undertake over this next year or so. So if you haven't taken part in that survey already, please do. It's accessible through the church website or through your emailed announcements, and it'll be really helpful to us. The more people we can hear from, the more better sense we'll get of what direction we should be going in as we make our plans. And we have some things planned for Holy Week, which is not this coming week, but the following. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you will be receiving in your email each day a daily devotional for that day. It involves a focus for the day, a scripture reading, and a prayer. It can be really, really meaningful to intentionally walk each day through Holy Week as we approach the cross. And so I encourage you to take a look at those and maybe make some time each of those days. It shouldn't take long, probably 5 or 10 minutes, to read and pray through those devotionals. On Thursday of Holy Week, we will be gathering here at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary for a Maundy-Thursday service. We will not have an online version of that service. Maundy-Thursday is when we remember Jesus gathering together with his disciples. And there's much about that service that means that it's the most meaningful and really tailored to be an in-person service. So if you are here local in the Parksville-Qualicum area, I encourage you, if you're able, to come and join us for that service. If you are further afield, I encourage you to find a church where you are that might be holding a Maundy-Thursday service. They are incredibly meaningful times. That will be followed on Friday by our Good Friday service, which will happen in person here at 11, and there will also be an online version of that service. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, we will have our usual two services at 9 and 11 and one online to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. It'll be a full Holy Week. Friends, go now and embrace the hope to which God has called us. Recognize Christ in friend and stranger, and as Christ has been gracious to you, so be gracious to those in need. And may God give you rest in rich pasture. May Christ Jesus be the Shepherd King who binds your wounds. And may the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and reveal to you the fullness of life Jesus can give. Go in peace, go in love, for you go in the name of Christ. Amen.
You give life, you are life.